This year is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas Rachel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi. Okay, quickly to answer two questions which came in. One question is from Peter Sugarman. Hi, Peter, how are you doing? Peter Sugarman asked the question that perhaps pre-chet, the Rambam would accede to the existence of immanence. The answer is no. The Rambam never accedes to the existence of immanence. There's a question of epistemology. Before the chet, man is capable of theoretical knowledge, but not immanence, but rather knowledge of what is true and false, like scientific knowledge. The scientific notion of true and false is not contingent upon immanence. It has to do with understanding the scientific reality of the world. Post-immanent, post-chet, according to the Rambam, there's also no immanence. Ethics is merely the interrelationships between human beings, and it doesn't come from a knowledge of truth, a knowledge of true and false, which is scientific, but rather it's agreed upon norm, social norm, by which people act. The Rambam, there's no aspect of immanence at all in the Rambam. That's to answer your question. Regarding Benjamin Milch, who has a question of a Parshas HaShavuah shiur that I gave in Parshas Vayishlach, in which Benjamin Milch is accusing me of going against the Goyin, the answer is right. Many times in Mechon Shlomo, since Mechon Shlomo teaches us to Mekadosh the world, and since for Balabatim, the Hasidic approach is the right approach, many times in Shi'um and Chumash and Mechon Shlomo, I do take a position against the Goyin. Okay. Benjamin, you're asking a very good question about a Navi. I can't answer you about Rav Yashiv. However, my father-in-law heard explicitly from Rav Yashiv that he does not have Ruach HaKodesh. So based upon that, we can believe Rav Yashiv and assume that basically Rav Yashiv does not Ruach HaKodesh and have a Navi. However, you should know that many people, based upon the Rambam, claim that it is possible, theoretical, for a person to become a Navi, even with Manazeh. So that you're right. I guess Rav Yashiv did not reach that level in accordance with his own self-estimation. Okay, now, that fine, Benjamin? Let's continue. Okay, last week we spoke about the Shita of the Goyin regarding the creation of the world. And the Goyin, of course, invokes the very famous Sefer Yetzirah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world b'sefer b'sapu of a sipur. And we explained all of the consequences of this Shita. I want to go on a little further in the Gor, and there he speaks about Mabed Har Sinai. So I'm in the Asoa Kolom of the Goyin on line 42. Says the Gor, V'ikar haya b'mamed hanivcha, the most important point in history when the Jewish people were revealed God's creation was Sha'amdu Askulam al Har Sinai. The Jewish people stood on Har Sinai, v'yisigu kulam ritzoni yisborach, and the Jewish people were able to apprehend God's will, mikol habruim, from the entire creation, ot sherou v'yivinu, until they saw and understood, they realized and understood, mikol habruim, from the entire of creation, shu ba'am, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them, ve'ein zulasoi, and he alone created them. Gemosha Kosov, like it says, Shishomu Mikol Abriyos, that they heard from the entire creation, Anoichi, right, Velo Yelecha, that they heard the first two commandments, Anoichi, Elo Yelecha, they heard it Mikol Abriyos. This is, the Goyin claims that, in fact, the voice was heard Mikol Abriyos. Okay, we'll explain what the source of the Goyin is in a little while. Veloshen Shema, and the Lashon of Shema here, Hu Shivinu Mehem. Shema, he does not refer to listening, but refers to understanding, right? And he says, the Goyin says in parentheses, right, that in fact, this is the Mail of Avinu, Shehisik HaKol B'Sichloi, that Avram Avinu was able to apprehend the truth of God with his intellect, Kodim Shediba Imoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with him. Gama Dibur Atzboi, also the Dibur 2, which means the other 8 Dibrois, I'm on Daf Kuf Chav Ches, on line 48, right? Hayagam Kein As Sheshamu Divrei Kodshei. They heard the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kamo Shekosu, like it says, and this is a Pasuk, which appears in Devarim, Panim b'fanim dibe Hashem imachem. Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to you face to face. V'higid l'odah batoiv. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu communicated to them his rotzoin. V'zel yutzon yisboch. In other words, what is toiv? Toiv is, as the going, is the Kadosh Baruch Hu's rotzoin. V'hein tarach mitzvahs. And these are the 620 mitzvahs, meaning 613 mitzvahs d'iraisa and 7 mitzvahs d'rabbanon. V'hein heit yutzon yisboch mamish amiti. And this is God's true rotzoin, true will. Hagonus b'tchila b'bruya ha'olam, which is embedded, or which is hidden, within the creation of the created world. Soi tamei ha'mitzvah shekisa atik yoimin. Okay, I'm going to continue with the tamei ha'mitzvahs and enter into the Kabbalistic phase of the shiurim in a little while. But what I want to do is I want to go over and examine a little bit the Goyin's Shita on Matan Torah. As you all know, there's a very famous Gemara in Makos, Daf Chav Gimel Sefer Beis, folio 23, at the very end of the second side, and Chav Dal Amud Aleph, folio 24, at the beginning of side A. There, the Gemara says, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, says the Gemara, Torah is Gematria 611. That means Klai Yisrael heard 611 mitzvahs from Moshe Rabbeinu, but the two mitzvahs, Anoichav Lielacha, they heard Mipi Agvura. So what the Gemara is claiming is that, in fact, Klai Yisrael at Har Sinai, certainly when they heard the Aseres HaDibros, so the Gemara is distinguishing between the first two Dibros and the last eight Dibros. The first two Dibros were heard Mipi Agvura, and the last eight Dibros were heard somehow not Mipi Agvura, but through Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, there's a machlokes rishonim, a famous machlokes rishonim, actually a three-way machlokes rishonim, how to understand what happened at Har Sinai. The sheet of the Rambam, as we will see, is not exactly as it's recounted in the Ramban and the Bnei Bachri in the Chumash. You can look there for a summary. But the sheet of the Rambam, which we'll get to in a little while, is that the first two Dibros, they heard directly. But says the Ramban claims that according to the Rambam, they didn't hear the actual words, but they, it seems from the Ramban, they heard something, but we'll see the Rambam, they didn't really hear anything. And the last eight Dibros, they only heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the Shita of the Rambam. We'll look a little while to see exactly what the Shita was in the Bar Devuchim. The Ramban claims, no. The first two Dibros, the Jewish people heard explicitly the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and says the Ramban, the reason for that is that a person can only ascertain the truth of God's existence if he's on the level of a Navi. For that reason, the Jewish people rose to the level of Nevoah in order to hear the first two Dibros, Anoichi v'lo Yelecha. The other eight Dibros, says the Ramban, the Jewish people heard a noise, but there wasn't Chitach Oisius. They couldn't make out the actual words. They were toloi, they were dependent upon Moshe Rabbeinu to communicate to them the actual words. That's the Shita of the Ramban. Now, the Kuzari seems to be cholik building with the Gemara. The Kuzari in Shara Aleph, I believe it's Simon Pei Zayin, there the Kuzari says that in fact they heard all 8, 10 Dibros word for word. The Kuzari is basically himself on Midrashim, which bring a machloikis, there's a Medrash in Shira Shiram Rabbah, which brings a machlokes Chachamim Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and according to Chachamim, the Jewish people heard all of the 10 Dibros. So we have a machlokes Meshuleshes between the Rambam and the Ramban, basing themselves on an understanding of the text in the Gemara and Makos, and between the Kuzari, who's basing themselves on Midrashim, who appear to argue on the Gemara and Makos. Now, the Rambam, let's go back to the Rambam. Who is the Goyin going according to? It seems that the Goyin is now establishing an entirely new Shita. The first two Dibros, the Goyin is claiming that the Jewish people didn't hear a voice, but somehow they understood from the entirety of creation, intellectually, that God and God alone created the world. This, in fact, is the true Shita of the Rambam in the Mori Nevuchim. So what the Rambam says, I'm now reading from the Schwartz edition of the Mori Nevuchim, it's in Chelek Bey, section 2, Chapter 33, Perek Lamed Gimel, the Schwartz edition, which corresponds to page 377, says, says the Rambam, according to Chachamim, right? Bekam mekoymes b'midrash b'gam b'talmud, v'hu omram, Chachamim claim, anoichi, in other words, the dibur of anoichi, Hashem Elokecha, v'lo yelacha, mipi agvura sham'um, that the Jewish people heard mipi agvura, hakavana shehem igiu aleihem, kishem shigil Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, the intention of the Gemara is they heard just like Moshe Rabbeinu heard. V'loy Moshe Rabbeinu avim lahem, but not that Moshe Rabbeinu communicate to them. Now the Rambam is a problem. What's the problem with the Rambam? Because according to the Rambam, not everybody can become a Navi. In other words, if you hold that everybody can become a Navi, so all of Klal Yisrael heard the first two commandments in Piyagavura. But according to the Rambam, only a person who's reached a level of Chachma can become a Navi. So how is it possible that the Jewish people heard the first two Dibrois? So says the Rambam, I'm on page 378 in the Schwartz edition, Kishnei Ayikoyim Ha'elu, these two, Rambam calls them Ikhrim, Kloima, Mitzius Ha'eloya, the existence of God, V'hayosi Echad, and God's being one, says the Rambam, Musogim Bi'iyun Hanoishi, can be apprehended intellectually, Kol Ma Shiyadua B'chocha Mufsis, says the Rambam, anything that can be understood intellectually, Din Hanavi V'din Kol Mishadea Sois Shavu L'Gabav, then the intellectual is equal to the Navi. Lo Yischon Zeh Sozeh Alzeh, and there is no advantage of the Chacham over the Navi over the Chacham. Kishnei Ikrim Elo Loi Mitzara Navua, Bilvat Noido, because these two commandments, these two Ikrim, these fundamental beliefs, which are commandments, are not known only through Navua. And the Rambam brings a proof from this. In the Devarim, indicating that a person through his das, through his intellect, can ascertain that Hashem is Elohim, which means the existence of God, he is the only God. So it seems clearly that the Rambam understands that the first two Dibrois, when the Gemara says they heard it mipi Agavura, means they ascertained it intellectually. That's the Shita of the Rambam in the Mar Nevuchim. The other eight Dibrois, of course, they didn't hear at all. Says the Rambam, yet the Dibrois, hey, mimin ha-mufusamois, ha-mukubalois. Says the Rambam, the other eight commandments are ethics, v'loi mimin ha-muskalois, and therefore not ontology. And because of that, they're not subject to rigorous and theoretical proof. And as a result of that, basically, what is required, one is dependent upon revelation, and since not everybody can be a Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu communicating it to them. That the Rambam discusses in Perek Lamed Gimel. Now, so we see very clearly that the Goyin, in fact, understands that the first two Dibrois were apprehended intellectually when somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them through the entirety of creation that He alone is the Creator. Now, the lashon of the Goyin on line 445 is Sheshamu Mikol HaBriyos. They heard from the entire creation. The question is, what is the makor of the Goyin? So on the bottom, Rav Yosef Avivi claims the makor, the source of the Rambam, of the Goyin, is a medrash in Shema Yisrabah, which says, Haya Kosh Baruch Hu Medaber, Kosh Baruch Hu spoke, V'akol Yaitzi Umachse B'chol HaOilem. The coil is going back and forth the entire world. Yisrael shomim es hakol ba'alem min hadorim, and the Jewish people hear the voice from all parts of the world. Now, this is not an explicit makor source for the Goyin. I mean, it might be one can interpret the medrash as such, that what it means the voice is going throughout the world means Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing the Jewish people through the creation that He alone created it. But that would be an interpretation of the Medrash. It's not an explicit interpretation of the Medrash. And I prefer to understand that just as the Rambam understood that Mipi Agvura doesn't necessarily mean through Nevua. Mipi Agvura means a person can learn directly. Directly can be intellectually. Otherwise, the Rambam didn't invoke the Medrash in order to claim what he claimed. And therefore, the Goyin is saying that Mipi Agvura just means that they heard Mikol HaBriyos, from the entire of creation. Because sometimes we see that the creation is referred to as Gevuras Hashem. That Gevura, which is a language of tzimtzum, right? A language of physicality of creation, right? Is applied to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that could mean mipi agvura. In any case, the Goyin Shita is that the first two dibbois were ascertained intellectually. Now, of course, I mean, the Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow showed them through the Bria, but it was intellectual and not through prophecy. Now, the other dibbois, according to the Goyin, in fact, the Jewish people heard ponim b'fonim. In other words, they heard it directly. Now, the makor of the Goyin, obviously, right, appears to be from the Midrashim, which I quoted, which is in fact what the Kuzri drew upon, and from the Pasuk of the Torah. The Pasuk of the Torah seems to indicate that the Jewish people heard all the Aseres HaDibros, ponim b'fonim, right? However, it seems to me that the sheet of the Goyin is in fact actually, it was based upon his sheet of Matan Torah, we can ascertain a little bit what was the Goyin's motivation for understanding Chazal in this way. Right? Namely, the fact is, the Goyin understands, right, that there's a dichotomy between ethics and ontology. Ontology, the Goyin claims, one could arrive at a knowledge of the existence and uniqueness of God through one's intellect, like the Goyin says to Avraham Avinu, and therefore, there's no need for revelation. On the other hand, though, why does the Goyin insist that the Jewish people heard the other eight dibros, ponim b'fonim? In other words, the Ramban would also claim you need revelation for the other mitzvahs, but he doesn't insist that that Klal Yisrael heard the other dibros, ponim b'fonim. It seems that the Goyin is basing himself upon what he says later on, or basically what he says in all places is the same. The Goyin says later on, in Perek Klal Dalet, which is in Daf Kuf, page Kuf Lamed Beis, line 124, and says the Gua there, Be'ez, at the time, Shenizgal LeMoshe Yisrael, B'mabar HaSinai, at the time that the Jewish people stood at HaSinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu too, Gila Hashem Yisboach Baruch Hu Kol HaTerah Kula, Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed to the Jewish people the entire Torah, B'chol Prater, all the details, V'diktuker, and all of the diyukim that one can make in the Torah, V'tameh, and all the reasons, Afilu Masha Talmud Vosik Osad L'chadish, even what a future Talmud will be Machadish in the future. In other words, the Goyin Shita is, the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, and in fact, learned Kol HaTerah Kula and Har Sinai. In fact, that's what the Goyin seems to be saying. When he says in Dvorim, Ponim b'fonim dibur Hashem imochem, the Goyin claims this is Tarach Mitzvahs. How could this be 620 commandments? We know that at Har Sinai they only heard 10 commandments. The answer is that the Goyin understands in different places of Deras Eliyahu, that the Shlomo says this too, this is actually doing the Rishonim in fact, that the Esra Mitzvahs, the 10 Mitzvahs, are Sharashim for Kol HaTerah Kula, the entire Torah. But the Goyin understands, in any case, that Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai were revealed the entire of the Torah, even every diuk, every diktuk, even what future Talmidim will be Mechadish in future generations. Now, the Makor of the Goyin is probably the Gemara Daf Hamad Aleph. There the Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'en l'cha es luchas ha'evin, ha'toyim mitzvah shekasab lo hirosam. There in Hamad Aleph, in Brochais, the Gemara says explicitly that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught everything. He was taught Mishnah, he was taught Tanakh, he was taught Gemara. In fact, the New Testament based on Megillah, the Gemara answers, he was taught even every question or every chiddush of every future Talmud. The Goyin understands that this was not only Moshe Rabbeinu, this was all of Klal Yisrael. And that's actually what the Goyin says later on in Klal Dalet. The Goyin says, Be'eshin is gala le'moshe v'Yisrael. So the Goyin understands that what reached Moshe Rabbeinu was not different from what reached all of Klal Yisrael. Meaning, so based upon the Gemara in Brachas Daf Hei and your Tezimah based in Megillah, the Jewish people bore witness to every diuk of every mitzvah, of every part of the Torah. Now, we'll discuss this in Mir Tashem a little bit later, but in any case, why was this important for the Goyin? I think it's important for the Goyin for the following reason. Like I said before, the fact that they ascertained the first two commandments, the third two mitzvahs, based upon the intellect, is of course the goyin shita. We distinguish ontology from ethics. Ontology, by definition, means man can reach his intellectual truth in understanding the universe as being something which is created by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is by definition incorporeal and not immanent in the physical world. However, for what reason, right, does the Goyin insist that Klal Yisrael heard the entirety of the Torah, right, Mipi Yagvula. Now, Mipi Yagvula means the other eight mitzvahs. It's not clear in the Goyin, Andrew Benjamin Milch has a question, how is Moshe Rabbeinu separate, special and separate from the rest of Klal Yisrael? In the Goyin, we don't see any distinction at all. Now, so the question is, according to the Goyin, why was it necessary that Klal Yisrael heard all of the Dibros? This is a question we'll discuss in Yitz Shem a little bit later. It turns out in the Goyin, in order for a person to reach a level in which he understands the entire Torah, it's necessary that at one time he was exposed to it. In other words, just like, for example, we say that a person is taught Kol HaTorah Kula in his mother's womb, and Reb Tzadik says the Yesod, that in fact this enables a person to have the ability to understand the entire Torah later on in his life. The Goyin, in fact, at the end of Klal Dalet, which I just quoted, actually in fact says the same thing. That in fact, at the time of Matan Torah, the Jews were exposed to the entirety of the Chachmah of the Torah. This left them, after Matan Torah, the Goyin actually calls this a Shvira, a breaking of the vessels, which will be a lot of discussion later on. And therefore, the Avodah of Klal Yisrael is to restore the vessels, to restore the world to its initial place. Now, if that initial place is not a Yediyah, a knowledge of the entire Torah, so therefore, we haven't how can a person know the entire Torah? Since the Goyin understood that intellectually, a person could come to know the entire Torah, so because of this, it was necessary that at one time in history, people were exposed to the entirety of the Torah at Sinai. So this is in fact actually part of the Shita of the Goyin, which Mitzvah Shem will discuss at a later time. Derech Agav, the Kuzari appears to assume this Shita, this opinion, that they heard all the ten Dibros for a different reason. Because according to the Kuzari, everything is Masorah, everything is tradition. For the Kuzari, there's no such thing as intellectual truth. The Kuzari says that in Siman Pei Zayin. He doesn't, he's Chaylek, he argues very strongly on the Rambam. That in fact, philosophy, says the Kuzari, is not an issue of intellectual truth, but is really basically a type of Ruach HaKodesh, a Ruach HaNevuah that overcomes a person. Are we doing all right? Okay, fine. Okay, we will immediately return to this another time, but now we're going to go into a very difficult part of the Gra. In fact, I'll have to say that this part of the Gra is going to begin our entry into Kabbalah. Now, the Goyin makes a very interesting statement. The Goyin says on line 51, the Tarach mitzvahs, the 620 mitzvahs, Hainin Ratzoni Yisboach Mamish, they are the true will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamiti, the true will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hagonus, which are hidden, B'tchila, the beginning, B'bui Oilam, in the creation of the world, Soid Tameh HaMitzvahs, this is the secret of the Tameh HaMitzvahs, Shekisa Atik Yoimin, which Atik Yoimin has hidden. Then goes on the Goyin, in line 53, for Atik Yoimin, which literally means the ancient of days, the Goyin has already spoke about Atik earlier on in Klal Aleph, Nikru are called the ancient days, or ancient of days, are called Sheshes Yemei Bereshis, the 6 days of creation. Shehein HaYomim HaKoidmim Lakol. That these are the first 6 days. These 6 days are the first 6 days, the 6 days before everything else. Vehein Ne'alomim Gamkin. They're also hidden. Once again, Atik Yomim means both they are prior and also that they're hidden. Right? A little bit like the Goyin understood in Parak Aleph. Hidden. Hein Ne'alomim. The days are hidden. But the lashon of atik yoimin, so the days are old, that's koidim, that's the going learned in Parak Klal Aleph, and also atik appears to be a lashon of hiddenness. L'chein ha'ashkocha,
does it refer to God?
We'll speak about that. I think it refers not to God, but it refers to the God's days. We'll see a little while in the going and say if it's in the lashon. L'chein ha'ashkocha, therefore God's providence, asher hayu ba'oisin ha'sheshes yamim, that existed, that the God's providence that was present during those 6 days, niku'u atik yoimin. So now going says something new. Atik yoimin refers not only to the 6 days, which are hidden, but also refers to God's providence. And that's also called atik yoimin. What's going on here? Fa'toiv, and the toiv, the good, asher ba bu'olim, asher hayu ba'isin shenivru az, nikru tamia mitzvahs. And the toiv, the goodness, with which, asher ba bu'olim, with which they were created, asher hayu ba'isin shenivru az, in other words, the good with which things were created during those 6 days, that's called tamia mitzvahs. Very interesting. Here the Goyin seems to be combining ontology and ethics. The Goyin is claiming that that which was created, right, during those 6 days, that's called toif. In other words, we're giving a ethical content to the creation. And says the Goyin, that's called tamia mitzvahs. Shehein tachos kavanosoi is baruch asher godos behem. Because a tamia mitzvahs is God's ultimate intention, which he has hidden within the creation. Now, these tamia mitzvahs, right, are possible to be, is possible for man to understand, to apprehend these tamim, which are the good hidden in the creation, only when all of the creation reaches the purpose, the highlight, the tachlis of creation. And what will that be? V'hainu la'osid lovely. That will be in the future. B'mehera b'yameinu. Speeding our days. Yimirtz Hashem. Sha'atik yoimin. And here the Goyin quotes a pasuk in Daniel. Sha'atik yoimin. That the ancient of the days, Yosef, will sit himself down. V'kursiyin. His throne, Ramyu, will be, I guess, spread over. Right? Spread over the creation. And there will be the new heavens and the new earth, which is based upon Yishayahu. It's actually a pasuk that we say, I think, on Shabbos, which falls out on Erev Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. V'yismach Hashem b'maisav, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will rejoice in his works, k'moy be'esa b'riya, at the time of the creation. Yizgala az tamia mitzvahs, and therefore in those days when the creation has reached its pinnacle and that there is a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, then will be revealed the tamia mitzvahs, the reason for the mitzvahs, shekisa atik yoimin, which atik yoimin is hidden to for us, the zeu, and this is the meaning of the pasuk which says lemichsa atik, which means the hiding of atik. Now, what is the Goyin speaking about? Okay. First of all, we have to a little bit define our terms here. Atik Yoimin, according to the Goyin, seems to refer to several things. It refers to the ancient days, which are the 6 days of creation. It also refers to the fact, Atik, right, is a concept of hiddenness, like the Goyin brings in the pasuk at the very end, Lemichsa atik, okay? Lemichsa atik. And then, right, in addition to that, the Goyin says that atik yoimin also refers to the toiv, the good, which is contained within the creation, which is a consequence of the special providence, hashkacha, which existed during the 6 days. This hashkacha, in fact, was interrupted or ceased after the 6 days of creation. And therefore, in our world, we do not see these things. They're hidden from us. All we see is this antinomy between ontology and ethics, between creation and its ethical content. But in the future, right, the Asad Lavoi, things will be restored. And the guy refers to Atik Yoimin Yosef Vekusian Ramya. So what is the Gros speaking about? How are we to understand this? Okay, now, in order to understand this, we have to take a little bit of a tour of the Goyin, of his Kabbalistic writings, and of course of the most important Mefarish of the Goyin, who is none other but than the Leshem. What the Goyin says here in the Asawa Klolim appears in Sefer Yetzira, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. Now, I did not give these Marim Mekoymes previous to this year, because I realized that just stating the Marim Mekoymes, just listing them, would be of no consequence to most of the listeners. In Mitzvah Hashem, after this year, we will in fact actually Xerox these Marim Mekoymes, and if you're interested in going into them a little more deeply, together with my underlining in the Marim Mekoymes, then you'll be free to do so for yourself. But I feel that without giving an introduction to these Marim Mekoymes, then for the average reader, or for the average listener, it might be difficult to understand them independently. Okay? Now, first of all, let's try to understand a few Kabbalistic concepts. In the Kabbalah, there are four worlds. There are four worlds, which are what's called Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira and Asiya. We are at the bottom level of Asiya. Now, Atzilus is a world of which the Zoya says, Iyu v'gamayo chad b'hon, which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is at one with his creation. I don't want to go into detail what that means. Obviously, it's not something that we can really understand. But the main idea, as we'll see, is that it's a world that, number one, is kulay ruchni, it's all spiritual, it's not physical, it's purely spiritual. And secondly, what's more important, it represents the ultimate of what's called hashgacha, providence. Because if God is at one with his creation, so ein lecha hashgacha yoyse gedula mizu. To use a yeshivish language, Atzilus is spitz hashgacha. Okay, that's Atzilus. Now, Atzilus was originally the only world that was revealed. And after what's called the Shviras HaKelim, the breakage of the vessels, which is a concept we will discuss in great length in Yitzhak Hashem in the coming Shiurim, we have what's called the worlds of Pirud. Pirud means that there's an antinomy between God and his creation. Or, what I would say, God and his creation are not one. There's a dichotomy. Bria, there's an element, and it also means an element of physicality. So in Bria, God is very close to his creation, but he's not quite there. Bria represents the most spiritual of the physical worlds. Yetzira is in between, and Asiya is the most physical of the worlds. In fact, in the in the words of the Mekubalim, Bria is mostly Ruchni, and there are certain spiritual elements, or some klipa, right? Physical also klipa too, that's Lashon Ari. Yetzira is half-half, and Asiya is mostly klipa, as we can see around us in the world today. Now, this is very important to understand. So in other words, Hashgacha, basically, when framed in Kabbalistic language, means at its highest level, Atzilus. God is at one with his creation. Okay, now, that's point number one. Point number two, we have what's called the Chayis. We know that in Yechezkel, in Maisi Yechezkel, the vision of Yechezkel, he speaks about Chayis. And of course, the Chayis and the Eifanim exist in different worlds, some in Bria, some in Yetzira. The Ikar Chayis, right, which when Yechezkel speaks about Chayis, so the Goyin understands, I'll say this even before the Goyin, that the Chayis exists in what's called Olam HaBria. And it says about the Chayas, Ratz Vashayv, Ratzoy Vashayv. That's in Yechezkel. Meaning that they quickly, they go from one place, they quickly go back to where they are. Which is understood by many Mefarshim, meaning that the Chayas HaKadosh have a certain glimpse of the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a certain truth which is beyond physicality, but they'll have a glimpse, and that's it. Ratz Vashayv. They run. But we'll see that. They run and go back. That's what's called Ratz Vashayv in the Chayas. Now, there's another concept that we have to understand too. That concept is called the Kisei. Olam HaBriya is called the Olam HaKisei. In other words, when it speaks about, there's a Maima in the Zoya that speaks about Ima Mekadene Bekosaya. Ima makes a nest or sits down Bekosaya in the throne. That's a reference that Atzilus is mislabesh, enclose itself in Olam HaBriya. Okay? Now, how does a higher world enclose itself in the lower world? So there's a Yisoid in Kabbalah, which tells us that in fact, actually, the Malchus of the higher world can enclose itself, can enrobe itself, can hide itself within the Keser of the lower world. The Keser of a lower world is actually somehow a midway point between the lower world and the higher world. Okay? So, for example, Keser, right, can be understood to be Malbish, to enclose the Malchus of a higher world. So, for example, the Keser of Bria encloses what you would call the Malchus of Atzilus. Okay? That's an important thing to know. And then, let's see, what else is there important to know here? That's about it. These are the general hakdamas.
Each of the worlds has 10 spheres.
Right, of course, each of the worlds has 10 spheres, etc., etc. We'll speak about that. Okay, now, the Sefer Yetzirah says in Perak Aleph, Mishnah Vav, it says the following thing. Es spheres, the 10 spheres, blima, tzviyosan, looking, gazing at the 10 spheres, what they look like. In other words, when there's a vision, the vision of the 10 spheres, kemara habazak, bezek, it's like lightning, bezek, like lightning, which appears and disappears. In other words, the 10 spheres, right, which are in Atzilus, we'll see the guy is going to say 10 spheres are in fact, in other words, in Atzilus, that a person can get a glimpse of them for a fleeting second, then all of a sudden they disappear. Some of you who have learned the Maran Avuchim with me will notice that the Rambam, now this Chas V'Shalom is not to mean the Rambam is a Megubal, but the Rambam even speaks about sometimes the truth somehow radiates itself for 1 second like lightning and then goes away. But in any case, it says, the 10 spheres of Atzilus, Tzviyosin Kamar HaBezek, means it's like lightning, which appears and disappears. So a person, for example, who's not an Atzilus, and of course no one's an Atzilus because Atzilus is pure Ruchnim, but a person who's in the physical world can glimpse them only like a fleeting second, Mara HaBezek, like a lightning that strikes. V'tachlisit Elam Kates. Of course, they're infinite. They're beyond ultimately man's comprehension. V'dabu behen, but one could somehow get an inkling of them by, in other words, a person can never stare at them and reflect upon them, but somehow by running to them back and forth, one can get a little bit of a glimpse of them. So it says, L'mamare kesufa yodayfu l'fnei kisay hen mishtachavim. And they are embarrassed from his words, and in front of his throne, they bow down. Now, what in fact, actually, is this speaking about? Okay, so says the Goyin the following thing. I'm going to read now from the Perish HaGor on the Sefer Yetzirah. Okay? That which it says in Sefer Yetzirah, Es Sfiros Blima, Sfiyosot Kemara HaBezek, okay? Says the Goyin, Perish, Sfiyosot, what Sfiyosot means? Sofer means to look at, to gaze at. She'adam tzoifal ha'sigoy, a person looks to apprehend them, to glance at them, k'moya bezek, like lightning. She'ein yecholis l'roitzoy, that you cannot see lightning, rag b'rega echad, only at one split second. V'choyze l'achor, and then after a person sees the lightning, you turn around quickly. Okay? And why is the lashon tzfiya? So tzfiya means to see something from a distance. She'tzofa dova she'roya be'rochak, says the Goyin. And therefore, the Nevi'im are called tzofim, says the Goyin. Why? Because they see God from far. Like the Nafi says, be'rochak Hashem nira. Now, what does it mean to say ratzoy v'shoyv? Says the Goyin that the chayas, right, are in fact trying to be masik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, actually the Goyin seems to understand here that the Chayis actually says, Inyan Abba Chayis are four oisiyas of Havaya, Yudke Vavke in Yitzira. And the Goyin says they try to glance at a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And how do they glance at a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So the fact is that from the physical worlds, how they massacre Kodesh Baruch Hu? So what they do is they try to look at Keser. Keser is the highest sphere. That's in Olam Yitzira. As is going to be Olam HaBriah too, later on the Goyin. And Olam HaBriah contains what's called, there are two, the sphere of Keser contains two parts. One is called, the bottom part is called Arich, and the top part is called Atik. So what happens is, according to the Goyin, right, that they try to, right, in other words, they try to look at Arich, and from there they get an inkling of Atik, which points towards the higher worlds. Says the Goyin, right, is that the Chayis are in Yetzirah, but he says Matat is in Bria. So in other words, it's actually Matat and angels are in Bria. Now, it says, is that Matat tries to look and glance at Atzilus, which is impossible for any physical human being to actually apprehend. So therefore, he looks at the Keser of Bria, and says the Goyin, that's Ratzoy Vashoyv, is Gematria Taryag. That's Gematria Taryag. No, my Matat is in Bria, and he tries to look at Atzilus. So Ratzu Vashoy, this glancing, is what is Gamatia Taryag, which means what is he glancing at? He's glancing at the Soy Tamiya Mitzvahs. Now, goes on the Goyin and says, if they kisoy hemishtachavim, they bow down in front of his kisei, they bow down in front of his throne. Says the Goyin like this, ki ain't soif ayideyas lapshu b'chokhba the ark creates Atzilus. And says the Goyin, when the Ein Sof, when the infinite light of God, it is lavish, enrobes himself in Bina, right? Then he creates Bria. This is called Bria. So in other words, the Atzilus creates Bria. God, the Ein Sof, by enrobing itself in the Bina of Atzilus, this creates the Olam HaBriah. And says the Goyin, right, and says the Goyin, and so on and so forth. In other words, Atzilus creates Bria, Bria creates Yetzira, and Yetzira, in a certain sense, creates Asiya. Okay? But this, right now, like this. So, the fact is that, what does it mean to say, Kitlifnei Kisoy Hemishtachavim, that the Chayos, the Malachim, the angels of Bria, are bowing down to the Kisei. So, says the Goyin Perush, Kisei hu Bina, this is the Bina of, he says, of Adam Kadmon, which really means what? Atzilus. Shekol Kisei hu Bina, ki yadua de ima mekanna bekosaya. Meaning, that what? meaning that in Bina, says the guy, right? If they kisai, right? Shu chachba, this is the chachba of Adam Kabin, which is Atzila, shu pnei kisai. Ki bebina yesh kitzat hasaga b'sheila, mash'enke b'chacha, rak masigim itziyosam. So basically like this, what it says, that the malachim, these chayos, in Bria, bow down in front of the kisai, it means they have a little bit of a hasaga, an apprehension of what's in Atzilus. And says the guy, this small apprehension of Atzilus is Ratzoy v'shoyf. They run there and run back. That's this slight apprehension. That's called Tzfiyasam Gemar HaBezek. And says the guy, Gematria of Ratzoy v'shoyf is in fact Taryag. Now, what does this mean? What is the Goyin saying? But the Goyin is saying the following thing. Actually, in fact, let me quote from the Leshem. The Leshem is in Anaf Chav Beis, at the end of Jewish Gimel, in the second Chelek, which is Sefer Hadeya, the second Chelek, page 76, says the Leshem, and the Leshem is actually basing himself on the Goyin. Says the Leshem, Ach Hasheshe Shemei Bereshis, the 6 days of Bereshis, uveprat Erev Shabbos Bereshis, acha chatzois, and especially Erev Shabbos of Bereshis after chatzois, right? Kol ha'olamos, all the worlds, hayu az, were b'madreges hatzilus. All the worlds were hatzilus. In Sheshes Mei Bereshis, all the worlds were hatzilus. And says the Goyin, says the Leshem, except for a certain part, the lower part of Asiya, that was in Olam HaBriya. So once again, we have interesting like this. After the 6 days, we have the four worlds. Asiya is on the lowest physical level as we know it today. But during the Sheshes Mei Bereshis, all the worlds were on the level of Atzilus, which of course is the ultimate Hashkacha, Spitz Hashkacha. Briya, I mean, the Olam Asiya, our physical world, was in Briya, which is not Spitz Hashkacha, but it's very, very close to Hashkacha. In fact, the Bria is actually created by Atzilus. So when the Goyin says that during the 6 days of creation, there was a special Hashkacha, what he's saying is that the worlds had risen to a spiritual level. That with the exception of Asiya, all the worlds were at one with the Creator, and even the Olam Asiya, our physical world, was very, very close to Atzilus, from which the Goyin says in Sefer Yetzirah, one can actually have a glimmer of Atzilus, and this is Ratzei V'Shoiv, Tamei HaMitzvahs. And let's go on with the Leshem. Hayomim da'atzilus, hem hayomim da'kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Leshem, the days of Atzilus are days of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shu elav shana kol yoim v'chol shah, hu pei gimel shana v'dal kadoshim. The Leshem says an interesting thing. Leshem says that which Chazal say in the Medrash, that one day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years, was actually in fact during the Sheshes Mei Bereshis. The Leshem says this explicitly in Anaf Chav Beis, and says that time during the 6 days of creation was not like the time we have today. Perhaps the Leshem thing would be put in Cherem, but the Leshem believed that the 6 days of Bereshis, right, time was different than it is Bizman Hazeh. That's what he says explicitly. And he says, these are called, since the most of the worlds were actually in Atzilus, so these are called the days of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what? Atik Yoimin. That's what the Goyin is saying. The Goyin says the 6 days of Bereshis are called Atik Yoimin. What does that mean, according to the Leshem? That the 6 days of creation, most of the worlds were in Atzilus, and therefore the days are called the days of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now, says, the question that Benjamin Milch is asking, did the worlds exist in a physical sense when they were in the higher worlds? Well, all the worlds were in Atzilus, so there was no physical sense. But our physical world was still a little bit physical, but mostly spiritual. In other words, our world was close to Bria. As such, that if a person pierced very deeply into creation, he could get a glimmer of Atzilus, which is purely non-physical. Now, says like this, all of this lasted until the Chet of Adam Arishan. In the Chet of Adam Arishan, all of the worlds fell. They all came tumbling down. And we became extremely physical. By the way, the Leshem says, he has some very deep things to say here too, but he says, he doesn't want to write them down, and you could take inference from this. I wonder what the Leshem is speaking about. But in any case, based upon this Leshem, let us now go back into the Goyin and try to touch the words, explain the words. Goyin, okay, like this. First of all, like this. What do we mean to say? During the Sheshes May Breshes, we have the Soy Tamei HaMitzvahs. The answer is as follows. The dichotomy that we have between ontology and ethics is only in a physical world. A world which reaches levels of spirituality, certainly Atzilus, there's no dichotomy between ontology and ethics. How do we know this? Well, the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the creation Toiv. V'yara Hashem el-Sa'or ki-Toiv. What does it mean to say that the physical world has ethical content? So, in our physical world, after the 6 days of creation, there isn't physical content, apparent ethical content in the physical world. There's only Dibur and Maisa. Because our physical world is very physical. However, during the days of creation, certainly in Atzilus, the worlds are purely physical, are purely and one with the Creator, meaning that they're purely spiritual, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu can call the worlds Toiv because they're in one with the Creator. So the critical definition is Toiv. HaToiv kilo chalo rachamecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Toiv. That which is at one with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Toiv. Therefore, when the Goyin says, Soy tamei HaMitzvah, Shekisa Atik Yoimin, right? What the Goyin is saying is that during the 6 days of creation, that in fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world was almost entirely in Atzilus, except for the lower part of Asiya, which was close to Atzilus. And because of this, right, the spiritual content of the world was caused for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to call the world Toiv. Now, says the Goyin, and this is called the Tamei HaMitzvahs, which is hidden in the creation, was hidden in the creation, because we can't see Atzilus. We're not even in Bria, we're in Asiya. Being in Asiya, these spiritual worlds are unintelligible. So that's hidden from us. Okay? Atzilus is inside, is Panimius, inside of Bria, which is inside of Yitzhi, which is inside of Asiya. But says the Goyin, line 53, Atik Yoimin, Niku Sheshashem Ebrachus. Atik Yoimin is called the sixth Ebrachus. That's what the Lashem says. The 6 days of creation are called the 6 days of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because basically everything's at one with God. Shena Yomim HaKoidmim Lakol. These are the first 6 days of creation. This is the very onset when the Kodesh Baruch Hu creates the world. Everything's in Atzilus, except for the lower part of Asiya. Veina Lamim. They're hidden. Why they're hidden? Because physical beings cannot see Atzilus. Says the Goyin, therefore, because these days are the days of God, which are in one with the Creator, which are in Atzilus, L'chein Ashkacha, Asher Hoyu Ba'isin HaSheshesh Yomim, Neku Atik Yomim. Why? Because if God is at one with the creation, then Ashkach is called Atik Yomim. The days of God, the first 6 days of the ancient one, of God, are at one with the Creator, and therefore Ashkach is also called Atik Yomim. V'atoyv ha-sheba beruim, ha-shehoyu ba'isin ch'tivru ha-dekru tamei HaMitzvahs. Now, the spiritual content of the physical world is called tamei HaMitzvahs, like the Goyin says in Sefer Yetzirah. Ratzu v'ashoyv. The perception from Bria, which is very close to Atzilus, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Keser, which is in fact this telescope by which one can have a vision of Peter Schubert has asked the question, how does it differ from immanence? The answer is the following answer. Immanence means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Asiya, as it is now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in Asiya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Atzilus, we're not in Asiya. Eminence means, like the Baal HaTanya says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in rocks and dirt. The Goyim says, Chas V'Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imminent in the highest spiritual world that we allow. But Chas V'Shalom, he's not imminent in the physical world of Asiya. It's only when Asiya goes up, perhaps to Atzilus, that we can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imminent. But imminent in Atzilus is by definition. Okay, Chas V'Shalom, Peter, the Goyim, will not allow for any imminence in the physical world as we know it. Now, like this. So, the spiritual content, which is the ethical content of the metaphysical worlds, that is called Tamei HaMitzvos. We have here, Marev Rabbeisai, a very, very big yesod. The yesod is the following. In the physical world, there's an antinomy between ontology and ethics. But how does Judaism unite ontology and ethics? And it must unite ontology and ethics because the creation is called Toiv. Kadosh Baruch Hu calls the Bria Toiv. The answer is the union of ontology and ethics exists in the higher metaphysical worlds. Through metaphysical worlds, in particular through Atzilus, when God is at one with the creation, then God, since He is good, by definition, the creation is also good. Just like the creation unites with God, ontology unites with ethics. Because in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we certainly don't have a distinction between ontology and ethics. So, says the Goyim, the 6 days of creation were actually, in fact, in Atzilus. The lower world of Asiya was not in Atzilus, but was close enough to Atzilus that one could actually have a perception, Ratzei v'shoiv, of Atzilus, where a person apprehends to a certain extent, for a fleeting moment, the Tamei HaMitzvos, and Ratzei v'shoiv is Gematria Tayag, which connects the two. And this is what the Goyim means, that during the 6 days of creation, the Tamei HaMitzvos were hidden within the physical creation. Now, what's going to be La'asid Lavoi? Says the Goyim, La'asid Lavoi, Atik Yoimin Yasev Ikusi Arabia. La'asid Lavoi, the worlds are going to rise. And the Goyim says, what does it mean the world's going to rise? Like we saw in the Sefer Yetzirah. Our world Asiya is going to rise up to Bria. And that's going to be called Shemayim Chadoshim Be'eretz HaChadoshim. It's going to be a new world and a new heavens. Because the physical world is going to rise to the spiritual worlds. And Yisbach Hashem B'maisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu will rejoice in His creation. Kemo Be'eretz HaBria, like the time of creation, the worlds will continue to rise. V'izgala as Tamei HaMitzvos, Shekis Atik Yoimin, since we in the physical world will reach close to what seems we could have a glimpse of the Tamei HaMitzvos, and that's called L'miksa Atik. That is what is hidden by Atik after the worlds fell, and this will be revealed L'asid Lavoi. Okay, I went a little quick. I mean, it's but Baruch Hashem, we finished basically the gist of this. I will, Emiyetz Hashem, have all these Makarei Xerox for you, and I'm sure you'll have a lot of questions, and I'm sure I'll have a lot to say over again, and we'll continue on this point, Emiyetz Hashem, next week. Until that time, I want to thank Libby for a wonderful job. I think you did a tremendous job today. I should have a full shleima, mayim ben shena, that my voice should get better. And I wish everybody a good tefach, a fruitful week. I look forward to seeing everybody, well, not seeing everybody, but being seen, Emiyetz Hashem, a week from today. Be well.